Christ and has had his sin nature rendered powerless. Because we died with him, we will live with him both now and in eternity. And if we endure persecution and suffering for his sake, we will also reign with him in eternity. Now, the first thing you need to do when you're studying something is to really understand what the word means. And the first thing I did on this particular message was to look up every time this Greek word occurred in the New Testament, and I got a long, long list. Vine's Dictionary says the primary meaning of deny is to say something, not to contradict. As an illustration, Luke 8:45, who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. Jesus said, who touched me? And they all said that they hadn't. They said, not. Probably the most famous instance of denial. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they ask him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. To deny, to say not, to contradict. It can apply in a number of different ways. Then Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever really wants to follow Jesus is going to have to say no to some things that they want to do. Titus 2:12, most of your translations are going to say to deny ungodliness and worldly passions, but it's interesting. The NIV paraphrases a bit, but it's very accurate. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. That's what deny means, to say no. Peter denied Jesus by denying he was Jesus' disciple, had been with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They said to him, are you one of his disciples? Weren't you with him in the garden? He said, no. He denied it. It is possible to deny Jesus by saying he is the Messiah. And you read that in 1 John. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. John is dealing with the Gnostic heresy, which was starting then, and he says, someone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the word means the Messiah, is Antichrist. He's against God, and he doesn't have a relationship with God. Now, what Jesus said in Matthew 10 could be referring either to the kind of thing Peter did, or to the kind of thing that John is talking about in 1 John. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now, to deny Christ in the sense that 1 John talks about is to deny who Jesus is. Such a person is not a Christian. Jesus may be referring to that in Matthew 10, or he may be referring to the kind of thing when he told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." We're in 2 Timothy. And if you read the pronouns, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, it's talking to Christians. So we're going to be talking about denying Christ in the sense that Peter did. And I didn't put a bunch of verses here, but there are other ways to deny Jesus. If any provide not for his own family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse, and I forgot to look it up, they profess they know him, but in their works they deny him. We can deny everything we say with our lips by how we live. So denial is not just verbal. So if you put 2 Timothy 2:12 with Matthew 10, I'm going to give you what I think is a fairly free paraphrase but reasonably accurate. If we say no to him, he will also say no to us. Or if we contradict what he says, he will contradict what we say to the Father in prayer. Now, Jesus did not reject Peter because of his denial, but he prayed for him. He promised in advance he would pray for him, and he restored him. So let's not confuse the two issues. There are those who refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, that God sent him to be the Savior of the world. That's one issue. That's not the believer. The believer is the one who denies Christ, maybe because they're afraid, like Peter was, maybe because they want the praise of men, or maybe they're just indulging their sinful nature and denying what their lips are saying by how they live. I'm going to toss this in just because I think it's important. In Matthew 10, the opposite of denying Jesus before men is confessing Jesus before men. Since baptism is the public confession of faith taught in Scripture, refusing to be baptized after salvation can be a serious problem in a person's relationship to Christ. We had a missionary from Iraq here in the area last year sometime. And he talked a little bit about baptism in a Muslim context. And he said, if you say you're a Christian, they will try to change your mind. If you get baptized, they'll kill you. The distinction is really obvious. Baptism was the public confession. I am a follower of Jesus, and I can't get unbaptized. I've declared where I stand. If you just say you're a follower of Jesus, well, you can say something different the next day. So if we deny him, he will also deny us. But this whole passage has if this, then that, if this, then that, if we are faithless. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, the word faithless can either mean not faithful, or it can mean not having faith, unbelieving. And so I looked it up and looked up the references, and the Greek word means the same thing that the English word does. It can mean either I'm not believing or I'm not being faithful to what I say I believe. Now, sometimes the distinction really doesn't make much difference. If Peter had really believed what Jesus said when he said, okay, I'm going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. If Peter had really believed that, when they asked him, are you Jesus' disciple? It might have changed what he said. But Peter didn't get it, and he didn't believe it. And he thought that Jesus was being crucified, that's where it was going, and that was going to end everything, and it was all over, and Jesus was going to be dead and buried and gone, and so he denied him because he was afraid. We're coming to a point in time in our nation where I think there are going to be times when we're going to be afraid to talk about Jesus. And we have to remember that God wins. We need to remember that. We need to remember he's all powerful. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If there's anything the scriptures talk about, it's the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. One of Jesus' names is the Faithful One. Revelation 1, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. In Hebrews 3, it talks about Moses, and it compares him to Jesus. And he says he, and it's talking about Moses, was faithful to the one who appointed him. No, he, Jesus, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. He is faithful. The last phrase I want to spend a little bit of time on, because I think this is the one we miss. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And again, the NIV says disown, but the vast majority of translations will say deny, and the NIV translates the Greek word deny almost every place else it occurs. What does it mean that he remains faithful where he cannot deny himself? You go back to verse 11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. We are not just people who have been forgiven and out of gratitude and with the help of the Holy Spirit are trying to live godly lives. I know I believed that when I went to Bible school, and I know one of the first Bible classes I had was Ephesians, and I could read the words and they never sunk in for a long time. When Paul writes, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And when he talks about being crucified with Christ and buried with Christ and risen with Christ and seated in the heavenly realms in Christ, I just couldn't take it in. But we are new creations. We are in Christ. We have been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, and the power of our sin nature to control us has been broken. Our spirit has been married to the Holy Spirit. We're even now with Christ seated in the heavenly realms. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what is the trustworthy saying all about? What is he saying to us? He's saying, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I died with him. And if I died with him, I am going to live in eternity with him. What I do in eternity depends on whether or not I endure. If I endure for Jesus' sake, I'm going to reign with him. If I don't endure, if I'm not faithful, I will be saved as one escaping through the flames. If I deny him, I can't expect to come to Jesus and say, well, I'm telling people I'm not your disciple because I'm afraid, but I've got this prayer request and I really want you to answer it. We can't expect to say, well, I tell people I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm living in known sin, but God, I want you to do this for me. No, that's not going to fly. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. Jesus used the words before the Father. We can't expect to live in known sin and have God hear our prayers, answer our prayers, and answer all our requests. If we are faithless, if we act in such a way that shows that we don't believe the Word of God, or if we're not faithful in doing what we know God has told us to do, God is faithful. I rarely refer to doctrinal viewpoints, but Calvinism talks about the perseverance of the saints. And usually when that comes up, I say, you know, what I believe in is the perseverance of God. I believe that when I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior, he claimed me for his own, and he does not give up. I am confident that he who began a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God's not going to quit. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He has so identified himself with us. He has done such a work in changing us into a new creation. He has done such a thing as joining his Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's 19. For him to deny us, ultimately, is to deny himself. That's what it says. You look at the Old Testament history. You look at the nation of Israel. You look at the times they sinned over and over again. And what does God do? He punishes them for their sin. He's not going to let them get away with it. But is there a nation of Israel today? Yeah. Did he ever ultimately give up on them? No. He was faithful even when they weren't. And we can trust God to be faithful even when we mess up because he's identified us, himself with us. When Daniel is praying about the nation of Israel and them going back to Jerusalem, he prays because this people and this city are called by your name, and it's about your name being glorified that they go back. When I mess up, God's going to deal with the sin in my life, but he's faithful. And he's identified himself with me, and I've identified myself with him, and he's not going to give up. He will not ultimately totally deny us. We belong to him. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you, and I pray that we would get what this faithful saying is all about. Lord, Peter denied Jesus, and you brought him back. And we've all denied you in one way or another at some point in time, either by how we lived or the things we said or maybe even the things we didn't say. But it's great to know that you are faithful. And it's great to know that you're going to do whatever it takes to bring us to where we need to be. Lord, help us to have confidence in our relationship to you. And Lord, help us to know that you don't mess around with sin. You will discipline us when we do. You will not answer our prayers for the most part when we do. You will deal with us, but you'll do it out of love because you've identified yourself with us. Lord, help us to get this. In Jesus' name, amen. Ha, ha, ha.